I want to talk about the power of partnership today as I wipe some tears from my eyes. The power of partnership. You know, the right partnerships are powerful, right? We've had right partnerships where you know that this is a good thing. This is a God thing. We've probably known some bad partnerships too, and we know where that leads us, and we're not going to spend time going there. I want to talk about the power of partnership and how the right partnerships bring a whole new dimension into our worlds. If you have your Bibles, your phones, whatever device you're using, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 to 21 and focus on verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. This is Paul writing. But in him, it has always been yes. Verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Verse 21, now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Again, look at verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Somebody say yes. They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Look at this divine partnership. You've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in this one verse, but you have another entity. Who is that? Us. That's right. Look at how this works. The Father promised it. The Son provides it. We proclaim it, and Holy Spirit protects it. Now, you talk about the right partnership. You talk about the power of partnership. Right there, you've got it. The Father promised it. The Son provided it. We proclaim it, and the Holy Spirit protects it. Don't you love that he kindly involves us in that partnership? He brings us into it. He actually says, you have a job in this. You know, Josiah's liking to do more jobs. It always takes longer. It always makes more mess. But I love when we can be together and doing it. And the delight in him is amazing when I see his face, how proud he is when he poured the flour in the bowl. Of course, half was in the sink. But oh well, we'll add some more. Partnership. The Trinity brings us into partnership with them. The maker of heavens and earth, the God who literally spoke creation into existence, actually gives us the opportunity to speak with our voices the amen to what he has done. What an amazing God we serve. Father promised it. I want to look, we'll read again here in verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him, it's always been yes. Now, I warned my dad. My parents are in the back. They come from Hershey, Pennsylvania. They meet up with us here to help with Josiah. But I warned my dad that I was going to tell this story. So he knows. He's going to try to deny it. Don't believe him. But when we were little, my sister and I and my parents, we'd be coming home from church, and we had our favorite ice cream store. It's right next to Hershey. It's called Palmyra. That's our town. And it was called Twin Kiss. And they had the best soft serve ice cream cones. And so we'd be coming home from church, and we'd be getting close to Twin Kiss, and my dad would put his turn signal on and slow down. And just when we got to the entrance of Twin Kiss, he would speed up. And he would go right by Twin Kiss. And this did not just happen one time. Now, he's like, to this day, he's like, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But my mom's witness to it, and my sister could tell you, who's out in Michigan, she would be another witness for me. Dad, you did it. But our Heavenly Father, there were times that you did stop, though, and we did get Twinkies ice cream. But, you know, he was just teasing. But our Father, God, he doesn't tease. It's not yes and no. It's not, let me give you these promises, and they, oop, just kidding. It's not putting the turn signal on, slowing down, and right when you're about to get on the road to breakthrough, he's like, ah, just kidding, and he kicks on the gas. He is not like that. It's not yes and no with Father God. Father God promised it, and because of Jesus, it's yes. Because of what Jesus did, it is yes. And there are no statute of limitations in the promises of God. I feel like that was really a statement that I am supposed to make to you that you need to hear in your hearts. There is no statute of limitations when it comes to the promises of God. We were in a women's retreat. This was years ago. And I had had a chance, this was Saturday, so I'd already met several of the ladies. And in our Saturday morning meeting, I remember the presence of God just rolled in. And it's like I saw a cloud of healing just rolling in. And you knew that God was working. And I said to this one woman, I said, the Holy Spirit just kind of highlighted her to me. And I knew that God was healing her. I said, God's healing you right now. So later on, as we were going through our day, she came up to me and she said, you know, you said that. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to hear, like, what did God do? And she was like, well, I hurt my Achilles ankle a couple of days ago, and it's really sore. She said, so when you said that, I started moving it. And she said, it still hurt. And I'm like, well, I'm not healed. And then she said, and then I realized that I took a deep breath. She went on to tell me the story to appreciate what that statement meant. Over 20 years ago, she had gotten into close proximity with a kerosene heater, and it damaged her lungs. She had gotten treatment to the doctor's best ability. They tried to treat her, but the doctor said, finally, this is as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better. She said, I feel like my lungs are like balloons that are going to pop, because she hadn't been able to take a deep breath in over 20 years. In that moment, she was instantly healed. She was looking for God to heal something that happened 3 days ago, and God said, let me take care of something that happened 20 years ago, because there is no statute of limitations when it comes to the promises of God. When it comes to the healing power of God, there are no statute of limitations. So don't stop believing, because His promises, they're not yes and no, maybe so. It is yes in Christ and what He provided for us on the cross. There's no statute of limitations. Keep believing. Keep believing for the son, the daughter who isn't walking with the Lord. Keep believing for your grandchildren. Keep believing for the people in your workplace. Keep believing, God, if He's put dreams and desires into your heart. Keep believing, because there is no statute of limitations when it comes to the promises of God. That is powerful. We need to know the promises that Father God's made. And it's easy for us, you know, well, yes, we're saved. That's really great, right? Eli, so good to see you. We're healed. There's deliverance. You know, we kind of have the biggies, right? The peace, the hope. But there are so many things packed in the Word of God that are promises that we need to avail ourselves of. You know, insurance. Oh, I have a love-hate relationship with insurance. We've had to deal with quite a bit of it with Josiah and different things that have come up in his life. And oh my, I've spent hours on the phone. And how many know you need to know the benefits provided in your policy? Because an insurance company isn't going to come to you and say, oh, we'll take care of that. We'll pay that. That's in your... There are times when you have to fight for the things that are covered in your policy. I did 3 appeals one time to say, oh, no, this is covered. And they kept denying. I said, oh, no, this is covered. He called the attorney general in Michigan. He's like, no, no, this is right. You're wrong. We're right. We're going to fight because this is a benefit in our policy. We've got to know the benefits in the policy of the Word of God. It is a binding contract. The law of the Lord, it's a binding contract. And we need to know the benefit package that we have. And I'm not just talking about the big 5. There are so many beautiful promises in his word that as we read it day after day, as we just take it in, not just hearing it from the pastor on Sunday, but as we're taking it in during the week, things come up and you're like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. And I remember this was quite a while ago. My Grammy was widowed at the age of 72. And she really desired to keep her house. And so she was widowed at 72. And she, man, she was a hard worker. She waitressed at a little diner till she was what, Mom, 85? 85 years old, she waitressed. So she was a hard worker. And she really wanted to stay in her home. My pappy was gone. She was 72. And one day when I was reading, I didn't hear it in a message from a pastor. I was just reading during the week. And I came across Proverbs 15:25. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. Another version says he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. And it wasn't long after my pappy had passed that I came across that verse. I said, this is for Grammy. And I wrote Grammy next to it in my Bible. And I would speak that and I would pray that you keep her boundaries intact. She went to heaven when she was 92, surrounded by most of the family while they were taking communion, was entered and ushered into the presence of God in her own house because God keeps the widow's boundaries intact. That's not one of the big 5, but oh, bye, it sure came in handy, right? There are things in here that we need to make ourselves available. We need to avail ourselves of. Proverbs 26:2, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. How many times have maybe something's been spoken against you at work? Some accusation might rise up. A different story has been painted about you than is really accurate. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. That's a promise of God that you can serve up, that you can remind, that you can declare, that you can speak in protection over your life. Father God promised it. And it's not yes or no. In Christ, it's always yes, because the Son provided it. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. We have an immeasurable benefit package in the Word of God, and we need to know what that is or what happens. We end up paying for things that we should not have to pay for. We pay for things that have already been paid for. You know what this is? I bet you might have said, who has a gift card in their wallet right now? Right? I know. So they're pretty common. This is a more recent phenomenon. And when you don't know what to give anyone for Christmas, they get a gift card, right? And I'm kind of thankful for gift cards because I feel like they have replaced the purple velour sweatsuits, you know? So I'm grateful for the gift cards that have come my way. And I did some research on gift cards. And in 2019, this was 3 years ago, there was $98.6 billion of money put on gift cards as gifts. 98.6. And what do? You give it to them? And it's really a strange phenomenon because this card is not money. It's not money. But yet we take it to the counter at Starbucks or wherever, grocery store, and we give it to them like it is. Why? Because someone put value on the card. Someone put a monetary gift on this card, and it makes it be able to pay for what we want. to pay for what we need. And do you know that they say 3% of gift cards go unused? Now you say 3%, that's not that much. Remember, 98.6 billion, your numbers man, Eli, you know where that's going. How much is that? 3%. I really don't even know how much that is. How much is it? Punch the numbers. No. 30 million. $30 million unused. Why? We forget about them. Sometimes we say, oh, there's only like $3.02 or maybe even 17 cents. You better believe if that card has anything on it, I'm taking it to the Texas Roadhouse and say, oh, here, I think there's 17 cents on this. Go ahead and use that. But sometimes, you know, it can just be like, oh, there's only 17 cents left. I'll just throw it away. Or we forget about them. Or we misplace them. Or we just put them in a nightstand. I have an envelope where I keep my gift cards in the nightstand. And we have one that we have not used in 3 or 4 years. And recently, the person who gave us that asked us, they like, hey, did you ever get something with that gift card? You might be listening right now. I was so embarrassed we had to say no. I'm like, no, we haven't yet. They're like, what are you doing? But think about it. The whole word of God, the promises of God that are yes in Christ, the value that's been placed, how many times do we fail to put that gift card into action? How many times do we miss the spiritual value that's been placed on the gift card in our spiritual lives? How many times do we just forget? We just try to do things on our own. We pay on our own when in actuality, the price has already been paid. It's not about our efforts. It's about our surrender. What does he say time and time again? The battle isn't yours. The battle is the Lord's. And how many times do we fight when he's saying, I want you to rest? Because rest is a spiritual gift card. It's on your spiritual gift card. It is in your spiritual insurance policy. Father promised it, and the Son provided it. It's yes. So how do we cash in our spiritual gift cards? How do we do it? We proclaim it. Verse 20, no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. He's done the heavy lifting. We say amen. Amen. That word amen, it means faithful, verily, verily, like truly, amen. We use it a lot of times at the end of our prayers, right? That's how we kind of wrap up prayer. So it is, so be it, may it be fulfilled. I want you to read what I found in a commentary as I was studying. Listen to the power of the word amen. The word amen is a most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into Latin and into English and many other languages so that it is practically a universal word. It has been called the best known word in human speech. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, which is amam, or faithful. Thus, it came to mean sure or truly, an expression of absolute trust and confidence. It's not just a wrap-up word to a prayer. It is a proclamation of belief and trust and confidence. Amen. That's why I love the song that we taught this morning, and we kind of threw it in there because it says, now we proclaim Jesus' name. And then, you know, the chorus ends with amen. Because that amen, for me, after studying this, after learning this, after the Holy Spirit kind of enlightening this to my heart, it's not just another word. It's my confidence, my trust. It's that amen, that stamp, that proclamation of what he's promised and what he's provided. I get to proclaim it. I get to shout it. I get to declare it. That's my job. That's my part. That's my role in this partnership. Amen. That's a powerful word. Amen. It's not just kind of a flippant, easy word that we just say to the end of a prayer. It is powerful. We proclaim the amen. The Holy Spirit, what's his job in this partnership? He protects it. Verse 21, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The seal, the guarantee, the down payment to protect what Father provided, what the Son, or what Father promised, what the Son provided, and we proclaim the Holy Spirit protects it. There's a story that I heard of a father and son, and this was years, years ago. And this father and son had a very special relationship. The father was quite wealthy, and they really shared an affinity for fine art. So they would collect fine art, and they had the means with which to purchase it. It was Monet, Van Gogh. So their house was full of fine art, and the father and son, again, just such a special relationship. And then the son got called away to war. So for months, the father didn't hear from him, and then a knock came at the door, and he was hoping it was his son, and it wasn't. It was a young man that he didn't recognize. And that young man said, "May I come in, sir?" He came in, and he began to share. He said, "Sir," he said, "I was friends with your son. And in fact, he saved my life, but he died in the war." And he pulled out this sketch, and it was a sketch of the son that he just happened to write down and draw in some moment when they were out on the field. And he gave it to the father, and the father just held on to it. And it so represented his son. It looked like him. It caught the nuances of his personality in this sketch. And the father treasured it. The young man left, and the father took this sketch, and he put it in a small frame, and he took down the big picture, the big painting that was worth so much over the mantle, and he put the picture of the sketch up there, because now that was his prized possession. Years later, the father passed away. He had no heirs, so all of his belongings went to auction. And one of the persons that attended this auction was the family gardener. He just was around the father. He knew the son, and he just wanted to go. There was no way he could afford anything, but he was just going to go and show up. And then this auction started, and it wasn't just the gardener there, but of course art connoisseurs from everywhere came, because there were Monets, there were Van Goghs. So this auction, there were a lot of artists that had come, or art connoisseurs that wanted to get the value and get these paintings. So the auctioneer came out, and he said, he started the auction, and they unveiled the first painting that was up for auction. It wasn't the Monet, wasn't the Van Gogh. It was the sketch of the son. And the auctioneer said, "Let's begin the auction." And he started it at a high number. And the people in the audience, they're angry. They're like, "Bring out the real artwork. That's why we're here. Bring out the real artwork." The auctioneer said, "No, the father specifically said in the will that this painting, this sketch, was first." So he continued. And then he was going, and the number kept going down, went down from 100. 50, no takers, 25, kept going down, down. It got to $1. And the gardener in the very back row, who would never be able to buy anything there, raised his hand. The auctioneer banged his gavel. He said, "Sold. The auction is over. Everything goes to the gardener." People were furious. Why would that be a case? The case. The auctioneer said, in his will, the father stipulated that whoever got the son got it all. Whoever gets the son gets it all. Father God promised it. Jesus provided it. And when we bring Jesus, the Son, into our lives and we proclaim, then the Holy Spirit protects. And let me tell you, the powerful partnership that that creates through all eternity. When we have the Son, we get it all. Every bit of it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that, Father God, you have made great promises to us, and they are yes. They're not yes and no. They are yes in Christ. Jesus, by what you've done, by all that you've provided, you said yes. You said yes to the promises that, Father, promise. There's agreement. I thank you for the power of that agreement. Thank you for the invitation into it. And we say today, we want the Son. We want the Son. And I thank you that you give us the voice to proclaim it. You give us the word to proclaim it. So, Lord, even if it has been something that we have been waiting for a long, long time, I thank you that you help us to stay true, that you help us to continue to believe, to continue to proclaim, to continue to say the amen to those promises, to say, I trust you. I'm confident in you. Even if it feels like it's been a long time, decades waiting, I thank you that there is no statute of limitations on the promises that you have made. It is as true today as the first day that you have spoken. And your word says to him who starts something, he's able to complete it. So I thank you, Jesus. Encourage your people's hearts today to continue to stand, to continue to proclaim, to continue to declare the promises over their lives, over their children, their grandchildren, over their workplaces, over this body of believers, over the church of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you need healing, he's the healer. And we can say, amen. If you need provision, he is the provider. And you can say, amen. If you need peace, he is our peace, our Jehovah Shalom, where nothing is broken. It is whole. We say, amen. If you feel like I've just messed up, I've just made choices that have not put me, I'm not in agreement with who he is and what he said, you can get into agreement. Your heart can return back to him. You speak the amen. You speak the name of Jesus. You believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you confess with your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.